we're recording.
I want listeners to picture this. I want you to picture a wonderful stone house with 5 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, a huge living area, 2 terraces, and it overlooks a medieval village. That's the house I stayed in earlier this year with some friends, and the house belongs to Rosemary Vine, who bought it some years ago. It's a house in the southwest of France. It's a gorgeous area. It's slap bang in the middle of the Dordogne, full of historic ancient villages. I want Rosemary to tell us about the business of owning a house in France. Is it always baguette and sunshine?
Hello, Rita. Yes. Well, I officially should say on behalf of all international home owners, of course it is. Go for it. Why not? But of course, every house has its own tale to tell, and ours was no different. Having said that, as much as there's been lots of bumps along the way over the last 8 years, we would definitely still do it all again. It's been exciting, it's been an adventure, it's been challenging, but it's just been lots of fun and a really fabulous immersion experience for us, which hopefully will pay off at some point someday. I keep telling my bank manager.
But not yet. How often do you spend there?
Well, this is the tragedy for me, is we bought it in 2010 with a 10-year plan with the intention of spending more time at the back end of the 10 years and just hopefully having it tick over in the meantime, paying its own way. So I actually haven't had the payoff yet to spend lots of time there. I probably managed to grab 10 days to 2 weeks per year in the house.
Which isn't that long.
Not when you're travelling from the other side of the planet, from Australia.
That's right.
It's so worth it when you do get there. As soon as you turn, you know what it's like, Rita, you've been there. You go up that laneway and turn in through the big old gates into that driveway, and it's instant peace and relaxation. So it's worth it when you do get there. It just takes a fair bit of travel to arrive from Australia, that's all.
That's right. And then it's 150 kilometres east of Bordeaux. And getting out of Bordeaux is its own challenges. Talk about some of the challenges of owning a house in France.
Well, everyone kept telling us when we first bought the house that we were crazy, it was going to be a French bureaucratic nightmare getting the sale to go through and so on. To be quite honest, the sale process was so quick, it was almost like the house bought us. It was a predetermined kind of thing, and we kept thinking, why is this going so smoothly? The sale was done and dusted within 3 months. We had a fantastic notaire. The vendors were really cooperative and so on. And it was really smooth sailing until we actually took hold of the keys and then opened the door and discovered all the dramas that were ahead of us in terms of the renovation process that was to come. And that was 6 months of logistical nightmare. That's the only way I can describe it.
What were some of the things that needed to be done urgently?
Urgently, the things that we had to do within the first few months was completely replumb, completely refloor the 3 downstairs bedrooms, completely rewire the house, completely repaint the house, pull down wallpaper, which for some reason during the 1970s the family who owned it thought was the height of good French taste, but it really wasn't that chichi. In fact, it would actually make you go cross-eyed just staring at it. So we ripped out rooms and rooms and rooms of awful wallpaper and had to repaint every single room in the house, had to gut the kitchen and build a whole new kitchen, had to knock out a couple of interior walls upstairs to create 3 new bedrooms and ensuite bathrooms. So really what you have to picture is that if you think about the skeleton of the house, it had really good bones. We just basically had to rebuild it from the inside out. And then when we got it done, it was all fantastic. We got through the first summer season with this beautiful house. In winter, they had a record snow dump, which caused part of our roof to cave in on our brand new ensuite and bedroom upstairs, which destroyed the brand new ensuite and also triggered an electricity shortage, which then stopped the central heating from working. So we ended up with 5 burst radiators and meters of burst piping through the house as well. So that was the next stage of the drama.
Right.
Now, and it just went on from there, really.
Now, it's hard enough to do major renovations in Australia, and getting tradesmen is the thing that everyone talks about. Is it more difficult in France?
Look, it's really challenging to actually find someone who you can trust. I did, within the space of, 6 or 8 months, I think 6 trips back and forward. In about 9 months' time, I did about 6 trips back and forward. In hindsight, I probably should have spent a lot more time on the ground there. We did have a building crew that we could trust. It was a mixed team of English, French, Belgians, Germans. So we were lucky from that perspective, and the team leader was a Brit. But I ended up with fantastic builders, French, at the end of the renovation process, but still feeling like there were certain artisans which you knew you were being ripped off by, but you just had no choice because you were so far away and you needed to get it done that you just had to go with the flow and accept that there were going to be swings and roundabouts in that process. And frankly, once we got it done, and we got it done a whisker before the summer season, rental season started, because our challenge was to put it on the holiday rental market in order to make it pay for the renovations. We got it done a week before the first booking arrived, the first group of guests. And so then we had a whole heap of other work that we then had to do at the end of the season to fix up the problems that the building crew had created for us.
Wonderful.
It's difficult, it's challenging, and you're never, ever going to get somebody perfect that's going to suit every need that you have for an old, big old house, but you just have to get stuck in and get on with it, basically.
Listening to you makes me think that whatever you've budgeted for the house, you need to multiply it by whatever factor to account for renovations and what happens when things go wrong.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really important point. The real work begins not when you budget for how much you want to pay for the house. It's for all the things that have to happen once you start. As the builder said, once you start peeling the skin off and finding all these issues, such as the termites, such as the electrical cable that hadn't been replaced since the 1950s, such as an entire new septic and plumbing system that had to be redone, which then entailed 90 metres of garden being dug into trenches while the man built new piping systems for us. It's all those things that you just don't imagine until you're staring at it and staring at the quote and having a small heart attack about how you're going to pay for it all.
Yeah.
So my advice to anybody would be it's always going to cost more than you imagine, much more.
And the other thing too is that we don't have in Australia houses of the age that French houses are, and old stone houses, in my experience, are quite intractable if you're trying to do renovations.
They're impossible because the electricals is an issue in its own right. Plumbing through them and underneath them, because the French also don't float their houses on high foundations. They sit very close to the ground, and so plumbing underneath them is almost impossible. So it's this magical jigsaw of a network of pipes all around your house, and they try desperately to keep it invisible, but it's really tricky. And things like, as I said before, the fosse septique, which was a whole new term in my lexicon, but over there, that on a rural property, that's just how the French have to do it.
We're talking about septic tanks. It also occurs to me that given changes in weather patterns and climate, France has gone through some shocking, shocking floods in recent years. Have you been affected by those?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because one thing we have discovered is that the renovation story is never ending. As I said to you, we had these massive snow dumps in our first winter, which cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Then we had to re-roof the entire house, 360 square metres of tiny terracotta roof tiles, which were local to the area. And because it's a heritage area, we had to absolutely match what was there. And then just a couple of years ago, we had an inundation, flooding rains, which caused all sorts of water damage. And literally just last night, I got a phone call from a guest that's currently staying there saying that she's had bats decide to stay inside the cottage.
Oh, great. Great. Well, when we stayed in the house, we encountered hornets, which we...
Yes. That's another big thing that's happening over in that area at the moment. I had that last year too. And in fact, that was just a saga in itself, going over to the village to talk to everyone in the village about who do I get to come and remove my wasp nest, please? And
yes.
It took me about an hour of going from place to place, and nobody could help me, but they all wanted to have a lovely chat, which was fantastic. But I had guests arriving the next morning, so I was desperate to get this sorted out. And finally, I hit upon someone who rang someone who said that they knew someone in the village over the border in the lot that might be able to do it for me, which they did, in exchange for a basket of set mushrooms.
Oh, that's a fair deal. The lovely thing for any guests, of course, is that nobody is aware of all the drama behind this lovely house. It's for guests staying there. It's just a pleasure. And you see, we staying there don't have any of the expense of the renovation.
Yes, you lucky things. You can. It's all care, no responsibility for the guests, I must admit.
That's right.
And I have to be honest, in the end, you have to become quite zen about it, because the house just pays you back so much in terms of when you are there on the ground. The gardens are just, I mean, I like to say they're shabby chic. They're more shabby than chic, I have to be honest. But one by one, we're reclaiming each of the terraces, because it sits on nearly 4 acres of land, and the acreage is steep on one side, so it terraces down the sloping hillside towards the village. And so, and that was all beautifully terraced with all this gorgeous local limestone. But of course, the house had been sitting empty for nearly 8 years by the time we moved in, so all that terrace is now really
Another
densely
work.
Covered with brambles and
yes.
ivy, and we are pulling it back bit by bit. But it's still a beautiful, peaceful garden. I mean, the chicken coop alone, I would live in the chicken coop. It's so gorgeous, this stone chicken coop with beautiful shingled roof and finials and a little turret. It's
yes,
amazing.
Heritage listed.
It's a Vogue chicken coop, yes.
Rosemary, thank you so much for sharing all those experiences with us.
It's a great pleasure. It's a great area of the world, so come visit anytime.
That was our reporter, Rita Ehrlich, speaking with Rosemary Vine, an Australian who is living her dream by buying a stone farmhouse in France.
You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.